Jesus loves them little children. Amen? Hey, some pretty little kids we've been blessed with here. I'll tell you what. Look at that one going out there with that dress and that hair. Man, that girl's ready. That girl's ready for the runway. She looks adorable. All right. Got Easter best on today. Amen. Let's take our Bibles and turn to Mark chapter 4. Visitors, so good to have you with us today. We're all going to stand in honor of the reading of God's inerrant word. If you're not used to doing that, the church you come from or where you worship at, just please oblige us that today. We want to give God the proper respect and honor. Amen? When we talk about His word. Mark chapter 4. We're going to begin reading here in verse 1. We'll take it through verse 9. And man, my prayer is we really get our teeth into Mark 4 verses 1 through 20. This is kind of an introductory passage on this whole group of Scripture, verses 1 through 20. But we'll try to kick it off appropriately this morning, get our teeth into it, really get it, really get some out of God's Word. And hopefully you'll be better equipped, you'll be closer to God, more in the image of Christ. And when you leave here, you'll be different from when you came in here. Amen? Word of God reads this in Mark chapter 4, beginning in verse 1. And he began again to teach by the seaside. And there was gathered unto him a great multitude, so that he entered into a ship and sat in the sea, and the whole multitude was by the sea on the land. And he taught them many things by parables, and said unto them in his doctrine, Hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow. And it came to pass, as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. And some fell on stony ground, where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. And other fell on good ground. We can all say amen right there, amen? And other fell on good ground and did yield fruit that sprang up and increased and brought forth some 30 and some 60 and some an 100. And we all said hallelujah right there, amen? Verse 9 says, And he said unto them, He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And boy, that's my prayer been for you this week. Those that God would have in attendance in this place today, if they have ears, let them hear. What is standing in the way of you hearing from God? What is blocking the path of the gospel to your heart? Oh, friend, if you have ears, may you hear today. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning. We thank you, Lord, that we can find ourselves again gathered together, worshiping you, praising you in song, praising you with our offering and our tithe, Lord, praising you, fellowshipping of the saints, praising you, encouraging one another in the person of the Holy Spirit. Dear God, we come this morning and we're amazed at your love for us. We are just blessed beyond measure. Lord, our wagons are full because we know today, oh, you're an awesome, mighty God. You've called us. You've saved us. You've set us apart. Lord, as we come here this morning, there may be one, there may be two, five, a dozen that do not know you as personal Savior and Lord. They know some things about you, but they don't know you. And Lord, we pray that through the preaching of this errant word, this word of God, without any mixture of error contained therein, we pray as we preach this and the Holy Spirit takes it and brings conviction on those hearts. Lord, we pray that whatever standing in the way would be let go of, would be thrown down, would be laid down in these that so desperately need a touch from Christ, would pick up His love, His mercy, and His forgiveness today. Thank you for the opportunity, Lord. Thank you for one more time to get together and praise and worship you. It's in your name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Thank you all for standing in honor of the reading of the inerrant word of God. May He add His tremendous blessing to it. The message is for everyone. The message is for all. That's what this passage, as it begins, that's what it's about, man. It is for everybody. You cannot talk about Jesus for any length of time. You can't get in the Gospels or study the Acts or get into the epistles or any of that. You can't get in it. You can't get too far about it without mentioning, without addressing Jesus' teaching. Well, here it is right before us in Mark chapter 4. Anyone who spends time with Christ in God's Word is going to come across His teaching. Well, here it is right here in Mark chapter 4. Mark and the other gospel writers are no different in that each of their perspectives about Jesus, you know what? They all contain huge amounts of Jesus' teaching. Even the Gospel of Mark, the shortest gospel of all. Huge amounts of Jesus' teaching. As we look at Jesus' teaching over the next several messages, we will come to appreciate and understand better the process that this perfect master teacher uses. And when we think about the lengths that Jesus goes to teach and to communicate truth, let me tell you what it speaks of. It speaks of our Savior's incredible love that He has for us. Man, He wants to speak to us. He wants us to get it. He wants us to grasp it. He wants us to receive it. Amen? So He goes to whatever length He has to go to without making the choice and the decision for us to communicate to us. Amen? It speaks of His great love for the potential disciple, the continual learner, and the doer of the truth. Amen? Are you doers of the truth? Praise God for you. As the vehicle for His teaching, Jesus chooses the parable. And so the question is, Pastor, what is a parable? A parable is a comparison. In this case, in our passage, a comparison drawn between a simple earthly picture and a singular spiritual truth. Or I like this definition better. In other words, a parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. Amen? And that's what we have today. So as we introduce Mark chapter 4, verse 1 through about verse 20, I want to share with you three things about these first 9 verses. Number one, the sower obediently sows lavishly, abundantly, without restraint in all kinds of ground. That's what the sower does. The sower obediently sows lavishly in all kinds of ground. Who's the sower? The sower here is Jesus. Friend, Jesus Christ is giving you His whole earthly ministry in miniature. The sower went out to sow, and the seed scattered some here, scattered some. That's what Jesus is doing. That's what Jesus does. Amen? He gives His whole earthly ministry in miniature. See, the sower goes anywhere and everywhere. Anywhere and everywhere. One of the outstanding facts with respect to Christ's earthly ministry is the rich variety of methods He employed to reach His audience. Oh, He's got a target audience. Who is it? It's everybody. And He goes to whatever He's got to do to get them to hear. Many times Jesus preached and taught at the regular synagogue service. Regular synagogue service. It's time for synagogue. Where's Jesus? He's going to be in one. What's He going to be doing? He's either going to be listening or He's going to be teaching. Amen? When Jesus went to Jerusalem, where did you find Jesus? Did you find Jesus laying off? No, Jesus was at the temple in Jerusalem, right? Every time He was in Jerusalem, where would you find Jesus? At the temple. When it was time for synagogue, where would you find Jesus? You'd find Him in the synagogue. Amen? Jesus believed in regularity of worship. Couple things this shows us that has not whole much to do with what I'm talking about, but I just can't help myself. Amen? So I'm going to quit preaching and go to meddling for just a second, and then I'll be back. Jesus believed in regularity of worship. This shows, what does this show? This shows that the habit of some who have begun to substitute their own personal devotions, praise God if you have one personal devotion. If you don't have one, you need to have one. This shows that the habit of some who've begun to substitute their own personal devotions, their own group studies, praise God you come to a group study, we love you for that, or their parachurch, these long ministry groups, they go to these things and they substitute that for regular worship. I knew it'd be quiet in here. Right? Jesus would not approve, friend. It's not your personal devotion or church attendance. It's not your parachurch meeting or church attendance. It's not your Bible study group or church attendance. It's both and. Not either or. Amen? Not either or. On that fact, let me just throw this in there for good measure. Have you ever noticed that some folk only come to corporate worship out of stress or anxiety, out of necessity? And when those anxieties have passed, I mean, they've got trouble with a spouse, they've got trouble with a kid, they've got trouble at work, they've got trouble with a neighbor, they've got trouble with finances. And so what do? They run to the church house. Amen? Let me tell you something. Jesus is here to touch you in your point of need. Praise God. Jesus is here to unburden you of your problems. Amen? Jesus is here to help you through it. Amen? But let me tell you something. What gets my goat every time is when things start turning around, when the ship rights itself, when God comes in one more time and helps and heals and does all this stuff. Where do you see these folks 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks down the road? They're gone again. Right? My soul. Although Christ wants to unburden you when you're hurting, when things are going well and you're nowhere to be found, let me tell you something. You quench the Holy Spirit of God in your life. Friend, the main thing is to be here through thick and thin. Through bad, good. Amen? Just keep on plugging along. Amen? That'd be the point of what I'm trying to say. Many a time, Jesus preached and taught at the regular synagogue service, and when in Jerusalem, He went to the temple. Jesus believed in what? The regularity of worship. On the other hand, Jesus' regularity of worship did not prevent him, church, from making Himself available for additional opportunities to spread the good news, the gospel of God, the gospel of the kingdom. Jesus did not limit Himself to just the temple when He was in Jerusalem or just the synagogue when He was out in the different Jewish provinces, but He addressed the crowd and individuals anywhere. Amen? Somebody want to talk to Him? Well, you know, it's not time for synagogue. I'm so sorry I cannot talk to you now, but you come to synagogue and we'll have this. No, He didn't do that. No, man. In this passage, His pulpit is a boat. Right? In this passage right here, He spoke to the people from a mountain in Matthew chapter 5, verse 7. It's called the Sermon on the Mount, not the Sermon in the Synagogue. Amen? You hearing me? He spoke to the people while in a house with them. He spoke while a group had gathered in a cemetery in John chapter 11. There was no stiffness, there was no rigidity to about where Jesus would share this gospel. See? So who's the sower in this passage? It's Jesus. Amen? We celebrate that. The sower goes anywhere and everywhere, but I want to tell you this. The sower speaks to anyone and everyone. Jesus was flexible in selecting an audience or allowing an audience to select Him as the speaker. Jesus spoke to anyone who was willing to listen. Crowds, the 12, separate individuals, publicans and sinners, men, but also women, Jews, but also Gentiles, non-Jews, the poor as well as the rich. To all, Jesus proclaimed, good tidings of the kingdom of God has come for you. Amen? So that leads to this question. Who's the sower in this passage? It's Jesus. But who's the sower today? Amen. The church. Friend, you. The Christian. The would-be disciple. The saved. The redeemed, the blood-bought. Welcome to the party. Amen? You've just been promoted to sower. You didn't know that. Right? This is your seed. Have a good time this week. Amen? And get it out there. Amen? Right? The disciple who sows like Jesus is not afraid. Not afraid to risk scattering the kingdom seed wherever they may fall. Just as God sends rain on the just and unjust, Jesus sows His word on good and bad soil, and we should do the same. Oh, we struggle with that. We struggle. See, we don't judge the lost soil. We only offer the lost soil the seed. We hold each other in here accountable to the Word of God. Some people would call that judging. I call it accountability to God's Word. We do that. We're saved, folks. We have the person of the Holy Spirit. We can do that. We have God's Word. But those people out there that don't know Christ, I mean, we don't judge them. We just offer them what? Gospel seed. Amen? That's what we offer them. That's what they need. Amen? As God's sowers, we must resist. We got to resist being like the Pharisees. Now, if you've been with us the last several weeks, we've talked about Pharisees numerous times. But we might imagine that if they controlled, the Pharisees controlled the sowing process, they would try to cut their losses by drastically limiting the terrain where the seed is sown. The Pharisees, for example, would exclude the lepers. Man, I'm not going near that leper to sow the seed of the gospel. Those Pharisees would exclude sinners and tax collectors. That's who the gospel, that's what the gospel's for, to go to them, right? And the Pharisees would, oh no, we're not going to do that. They're not worthy to waste the seed on. Praise God, I don't get to make that decision. I just sow the seed. I just sow the seed. History proves, you know, if you study the Word of God, you study the Gospels, you go through Acts, history proves that the Pharisees were the least receptive to the gospel seed, yet Jesus still sowed on them lavishly as well. Oh, He's a loving Father and God. Amen? Man. Number one, the sower obediently sows lavishly in all kinds of ground. But number two, this parable, the parable this morning, Mark chapter 4, verses 1 through 9, which we're introducing as we look at verses 1 through 20. The parable affirms that despite the challenges, are there challenges out there, Pastor? Every day, all the time, you're going to do anything for God, get ready for a challenge, amen? There are challenges out there. Despite the challenges, there will be a harvest. Number two, the parable affirms that despite challenges, there will be a harvest. Despite the setbacks caused by voracious birds, the scorching heat of the sun on skimpy soil, and a profusion of thorns, the sower will have a harvest from good soil. And if you're sitting here today, and if you're saved today, you give testimony of the harvest that has happened and continues to happen. Amen? Let me tell you something. In this world and the next world, in this world and the next world, the Word of God will not fail. Will not fail. The verse that I have gone to on numerous times over 20 plus years of ministry that has kept me in it to win it, that has kept me from printing off the letter of resignation, that has kept me from hanging it up and walking away, that has kept me in it when people have stabbed me in the back, when my feelings have been hurt, when I've gotten away from God and been backslid in the ministry. The thing that has kept me in it is Isaiah chapter 55, verses 10 through 11. Mark it down. Mark it up in your Bible. Put it in the front. Put it on your fridge. Put it in your car. Put it on your mirror. Wad it up and eat it. Amen? Isaiah 55, 10 and 11 says this, "For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower." That'd be you and me, man. "And bread to the eater." Verse 11, "So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it." Amen. Let me give you the bottom line, friend. In every family, in every classroom, in every neighborhood, in every workplace, there are unreached peoples who we are responsible for. We're responsible for them, man. You say, "I don't pay their bills. They don't live under my roof." But friend, you're a sower. You've just been promoted. You are responsible for them. That is ground that has to have seed scattered over it. Well, man, somebody else is going to have to scatter that seed. God puts you there to scatter that seed. Sower, that's you, friend. In every family, every classroom, every neighborhood and workplace, there are unreached peoples for whom we are responsible. And these people come in all kinds, as Mark chapter 4, verses 1 through 9 tells us. There are the smarty pants. You've met the smarty pants, haven't you? That's the intellectual. These folks may be the hard soil. Smarty pants, intellectuals, right? Then there are the class clowns. You've met the class clowns. Oh, the jokester, that person who's always got to be at the center of attention, the entertainer. Those may be the shallow soil folks. And then you've got the head dogs. Oh, you've got the big bosses. You got the leaders. These folks may have the thorns of wealth and power that compete with the gospel. So the question is, should any of these unreached peoples be neglected because they're tough, because they're shallow or divided? And the answer to that is, of course not. We just take the seed and sling it, man. Let me tell you about Christ. I don't have time to hear about Christ. Let's schedule a time so that you can hear about Christ. Let me give you a good word, right? Let me share with you about what Jesus has done in my life. Amen? Let me tell you something. Because the word will not fail, Isaiah, because the word will not fail, the Christian, disciple, the church should not despair over the apparent failure. I want to tell you, there's failures all around us, apparently, right? Apparently, the blindness of faith. Oh, man, we tried, you know, and they wouldn't hear. The apparent failures, you know, when we pull up in the neighborhood, we get out of our car, our neighbor's blinds, they close, and they don't come out and work on their yard when we're home because they're afraid we're going to come talk to them about Jesus. Don't sweat that, amen? And I got passed over for a promotion at work because everybody thinks I'm a Jesus freak. Don't sweat that, amen? Just keep going for God. Man, pastor, somebody comes in during revival and they get saved and you baptize them. And man, they're just big, great guns for 2 or 3, 6 weeks, 3 months. And then they're gone. They've defected from the gospel. Don't sweat it. Just keep on going, amen? Because Isaiah's no liar. And nor is Jesus Christ in Mark chapter 4. Amen? The parable affirms that despite challenges, there will be a harvest. Even in the opposition of the demonic, trying to keep people headed to a place called hell, trying to keep them on the wide road that leads to destruction. Oh, there's going to be a harvest, man. The believer can be assured the harvest will come from the response of the good soil. How do I know if it's good or not? Man, the gospel knows. You just sow. You just sow. Sow it wherever and whenever. Amen? Just like Jesus. The sower obediently sows lavishly in all kinds of ground. Secondly, we said, the parable affirms that despite challenges, there will be a harvest. Thirdly, this morning, and lastly, the parable reveals that people do not respond the same, even to Jesus Christ. They don't respond the same. Now, I know that's kind of that commercial with Captain Obvious. I know that's kind of a Captain Obvious point. Hey, way to go, Captain Obvious. Yeah, I can see that in the passage, right? Amen? The parable reveals that people do not respond the same even to Jesus Christ. Some will reject the truth. Some will reject the truth no matter how the truth is communicated. My prayer for you is that you would present the truth so much. You would sow the gospel so much that you will have been rejected so much that you're over it. You're over being rejected because you have gospel seed sown so much. You don't get wound up about your own feelings. You don't allow the devil to use that rejection to attack your own sense of security. You just keep on sowing. Amen? You just keep on sowing. You don't look at the results. You let the Holy Spirit, you let God worry about the results. You just sow. Amen? Just so. Some will reject the truth no matter how the truth is communicated. While a man was at a barber shop, how many of you go to a barber? Amen? It'd be us guys. A few of us. I used to go to a hairstylist, you know? Man, I go to a barber today. I've been going to a barber, I don't know, maybe for a year. Jeremiah turned me on to the barber. Amen? Got to be one of the best experiences I do every month, go to the barber. It's just awesome. They got the barber pole. I mean, it's an awesome thing. A man was at a barber shop. He got into a theological discussion with his barber. Now, he's not like our barber, Jeremiah. This guy's a different dude. The barber said, I don't believe that God exists. Now, our barber does, but this guy said, I don't believe that God exists. You just have to go outside. That's what the barber said. You just have to go out into the street to realize that God does not exist. If God existed, this was his stick, this was his This was his angle on it. If God existed, would there be so many sick people? Would there be so much cancer in the world? Would there be so many abandoned children? Would there be so many aborted babies? If God was in the world, if God existed, there would be neither suffering nor pain. Well, the customer decided not to debate any further. It had been a friendly exchange of discussion and truth and ideas. The customer decided not to debate any further and agitate the barber into a full-blown argument. So as the barber finished up on this customer, he left the barbershop. As he was walking to his car, he saw just outside the barbershop's view, he saw a man in the street with long, stringy, stinky, unwashed, clumped up, matted, dirty hair, and an untrimmed beard. The customer turned around. He walked right back into the barbershop, and he declared, "You know what? Barbers do not exist. There is no way that barbers exist. How can you say that?" The guy's holding the scissors and his brush, man. How can you say that barbers don't exist? The customer continued, "Barbers do not exist, because if they did, there would be no people with dirty, long, matted, stinky, smelly hair and untrimmed beards like that man outside. Come take a look." The barber walks to the door. He opens the door. He looks down the street, and there's the man. Began to stutter. He says, "What happens is people do not answer the call of my barber pole." And he pointed outside his business at his barber pole with the turning thing inside. He goes, "They don't answer that call. They don't come to me. I could take care of this if they would just come to me." The customer replied, "That's my point, sir. That is my point." He says, "God too does exist. What happens is people do not answer his call and do not come to him either." Amen? See, different people, some of them will reject the truth no matter how the truth is communicated, but different people respond differently depending upon their readiness to receive the gospel. Even though Jesus Christ is sovereign as the Son of God, he does not usurp the freedom of the individual. In other words, he does not force anybody. He just offers the truth. Amen? He just offers it. On the beaten path of their tradition, Pharisees show a hardness of heart that the seed of the gospel cannot penetrate. But Jesus does not force the Pharisees to receive Christ. Sensation-seeking crowds, those that want to follow Jesus and his great miracles and his great feedings and all of these things that he does, these powers and wonders, these sensation-seeking crowds, they're the stony soil to be sure. They see no deeper into the faith than the miracles of Christ. But Jesus does not. Jesus does not choose for them either. And then there's the wealthy and powerful people that represent the thorny ground. They're never quite able to free themselves from their riches. They're never quite able to free themselves from the cares in order to give the gospel its full hearing and its full growth. And you know what Jesus does? Jesus does not bribe them into the kingdom of God. He does not do it. So as we close here this morning, as we close this introductory time, this introductory message to chapter 4, verses 1 through 20, as we close it, what can we say? We can say this, that each kind of soil is representative of the different hearers of the Word. Friend, what kind of soil are you? Oh, what kind of soil are you? On the hardened soil, the seed lies on the surface, ready for picking by scavenging birds. I would say there's some hard soil in here today. Gospel truth has been proclaimed. I've about blown a vein in my neck trying to preach God's Word to you. But you'll walk out of here, you'll get in the car, and by the time you've gotten to the light down here, to the stop sign to the left, the birds will have already scavenged. Those old demonic birds will have already come in and scavenged the truth. Off of what? Off the hardened soil. Both the stony and thorny soils can be mistaken for fertile and productive ground. There's some here today, and they're hearing the gospel truth, and they're thinking, you know, Maybe I'll receive Christ. You know, maybe I'll come back when there's fewer people here today. Maybe I'll come back when the message is a little bit softer. Maybe I'll come back. Maybe I'm thinking about it. I'm contemplating it. Oh, but friend, don't do that. A layer of rock just beneath the surface. Baby thorns germinating for competitive growth. These things aren't revealed until the crop is tested by circumstance. Scorching sun and choking thorns bring judgment upon the shallow roots and mixed shoots. The seed is sown, the plants grow just a little bit, but the harvest is lost. Friend, if that's you today and you're almost there, if you die almost there, you're not there. You're not there. Striking contrast, the fertile soil. In striking contrast, the good soil, the fertile soil, produces crops that astound the imagination, that astound it. Some 30, some 60, and then God's Word says, and some an hundred, some an hundredfold. Amen? A hundredfold harvest is such a rarity in the natural cycle of earthly production. It speaks volumes of the glorious potential of those who respond to the Word of God. Amen? Respond appropriately to the Word of God. So as we get ready for a time of invitation, be reminded, we find ourselves confronted once again with the truth that Jesus Christ, the Messiah, sent from God, the Son of Man, the Son of God, God in the flesh, comes with judgment, and He comes with redemption. For those in whom the seed of the gospel takes no root and produces no crop, Jesus is their grim judge. Oh, but friend, for those in whom the Word is received, for those in whom the Word is grown, for those in whom a harvest comes, Jesus is their glad Redeemer. Amen. Their glad Redeemer. At the end of His teaching, in verse 9, and He said unto them, He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. At the end of His teaching, Jesus reinforces the fact that His listeners have heard eternal truth. I can imagine Jesus in a small fishing skiff set out on the Sea of Galilee, about a stone's throw, the soft waves slapping into the hull, the birds buzzing around, the Son of God teaching with authority and power. And He comes to the point where He says, He who has ears to hear, let him hear. You know how it echoes over the water when you speak? Hey! Kind of skips over the water. It's beautiful, isn't it? When you're on the water and you can whisper into the water and it will travel along the water and it will hit somebody. Hey, why are you talking to me like that? You know, right? It's amazing. Well, Jesus spoke some 2,000 plus years ago, the exclamation is still echoing because it's God's Word. It's still echoing. It echoes forth from His seaside classroom, from his boat of a pulpit, and it comes all the way through the centuries and it reaches our ears here this morning sitting in the pew. It reaches our ears with a clarity and a force. You can't deny it. You cannot deny it. Don't deny it today. Amen. If you have an ear, oh, let him in. Let him in. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning. We thank you, Lord, that we can preach with boldness the Word of God revealed in His Holy Scriptures to a congregation hungry to hear it, to visitors that have come to check it out. Oh, Lord, we pray that we find ourselves in the middle of your will. We find ourselves that we're on the side of right, that we're on the narrow path. We pray that we find ourselves saved today, redeemed, headed for a day of redemption, headed for the marriage supper of the Lamb. But Lord, if we can't say that about us, oh, we may know some facts and some figures about Jesus, but we've never received Jesus into our heart. We've never prayed to ask Jesus to save us. We've never asked Jesus to forgive us of our sins and to come into our heart and life and to be our personal Savior and Lord. We've never done that. Oh, we've played around with religion. We've played around with church. We've been in and out. We've been hot and cold, but we've never just come on for God. If that's us today, may we receive Christ. May we receive salvation. May we receive the gift that keeps on giving. May we know that Pastor Steve's not going to trick us, bribe us, give us a poor, sad story to falsely convict us. He's just going to preach the Bible to us. Lord, we pray Your Holy Spirit would do the convicting and the drawing, and we leave the results in Your hands today. Have Your way with us, God. May we be submissive. May we be open. May we be receptive to the Bible truth we've heard here this morning. It's in Your name we pray, and God's people said, let's stand all over the sanctuary as Brother Jeremiah leads us.